dependence upon the Lord for all needed help, I venture to draw your prayerful attention to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, a part of verse 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 8, and the middle clause. The footsteps of the flock. The footsteps of the flock. This flock has a shepherd who constantly cares for them, loves every sheep and lamb, goes before them in the way, protects them from their many enemies, leads them into the green pastures, makes them to lie down in green pastures, and leads them by the still waters. Consider a flock in eastern lands without a shepherd to constantly care for them. The sheep would wander. The sheep would perish at the be killed by wild beasts, stolen by wicked men, come into places of great danger, eat that which might be harmful to them. So before we look and consider the flock, we would consider the shepherd of the flock. This flock, sheep and lambs, all given by God the Father to the good shepherd of the sheep. And this good shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. For all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. This flock in and of themselves are perishing in their sin, wandering far away from God, and yet watched over by this good shepherd, and he who died on the cross, whose precious blood was shed, who paid that price of redemption, will call and gather each of his sheep and lambs to himself at the appointed time. And they shall come. The powerful voice of the shepherd calling them out of that state of danger, how they are ready to perish. and they are gathered one by one and sweetly sing, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger, interpose his precious blood, the good shepherd. And here, beloved, is this dear shepherd whose eye is upon them that fear him, that hope in his mercy. He died for them. They are called by his grace. He goes before them in the way, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The flock. What are the marks of being found in this flock, the lambs and the sheep, for whom the shepherd died, whom the shepherd will bring to glory at last? In my business days, travelling on the borders of Surrey and Sussex, I had to stop for a few moments to, and in the field nearby, I observed a lamb that obviously had only really just been born. How weak, how frail, how defenseless, trembling. One thing I observed was the mother, the sheep, its care of its lamb. And that led me to this, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. But what I particularly observed was this. Here before my eyes was life. Very weak, very frail. And unless I was mistaken, and I think not, from that little wee lamb there was a fainting, bleating. So, beloved, in the things of God, the lambs of this fold are born again. Spiritual life, though so weak, though so frail, though so defenseless, though so very, very poor, yet here is life. Do some of our younger friends come in with this? Are there some bleatings? Are there some broken cries for mercy? Is there in your heart a seeking of the shepherd, a desire to know that you are one of this flock, that you are his, that he died for you, that his blood was shed to put away thy sin? If there is this movement in your soul, this deep longing of your heart, this cry for mercy, this being drawn to Jesus Christ, it is the blessed evidence of spiritual life. And spiritual life, however so faint, yet real, is the evidence of that interest in the finished work of Christ. Spiritual life is inseparable from the blood shed of the dear shepherd of the sheep and of that interest in his finished work. The flock. When thou wast perishing in thy sin, and to be perishing in one sin does not mean only to be right out in the world, never coming to God's house, never hearing the word. We can be in the world, perishing, having been brought up, sitting in the chapel, sitting under the truth, and hearing the gospel from our childhood days. But oh, what has the Lord done for you? What power has been put forth in your heart? Dost thou trace out, beloved, that time when you began to feel concerned over your soul, burdened with your sin, when you were led to seek for mercy, pray for, to be prepared for eternity, when sin became such a reality, such a burden? This is the footsteps of the flock. And under that burden of your sin, conscious now that you are perishing, afar off, and then hearing the shepherd's voice speaking, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Dost thou remember that first word or words upon which your soul was caused to hope, when you were drawn by this powerful love of the shepherd, hearing his voice drawing you to himself? The footsteps of the flock, coming in all your need and unfitness, and yet with hope in your soul, and yet so many, many fears. A mark of the lambs and sheep of this flock is that they dwell together. I have been told that a sheep alone is unhappy. You find them in the flock together. Dost thou now testify of that love to the dear people of God? Do you say, "I love to meet among them now"? Why? Is it just because you're friendly with them? And that you love to meet them? It is right that you should be friendly. It is good that you should love to meet them. But I love to meet among them now, and at thy gracious feet about the vilest of them all. To meet with God's people with the desire that Jesus may meet with me, that I may hear his voice, that I may be confirmed in my soul, that I am numbered not just openly that I sit with God's people, but that Jesus is my Savior, that Jesus died for me, that my sins, which are many, all are forgiven. You, some of our younger friends, particularly in daily employment, what does it mean to come to God's house on the Lord's Day and in the week? Can you enter into this? Being let go, you come to your own company. Oh, my friend, sheep dwell together. Excluding the thought of wild sheep, as I believe there are in parts of the earth, but for the most part, if we think of sheep and lambs, they belong to somebody. We might ask, who do I belong to? Who do you belong to? There's either we belong to Jesus, or that the evil one is our master. Or are we his? Now, the sheep are marked. One of our little children, 2 or 3 years ago, was away and saw these sheep with a red mark on the back and turned to her father and said, "It looks like blood." It wasn't blood, of course. But Father had sweet meditation. These sheep, this flock, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Oh, friend, it's the blood. The mark. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Have we this mark? Oh, perhaps some of you may say, 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Oh, how canst I be sure that it is well with my soul?" We cannot see our own mark. It is seen by others. If, and to change the illustration for a moment, God's people are sealed in their foreheads. Now, I could not see any mark now on my forehead. You would see it. But if I needed to see it, I would use a mirror. I would need eyes opened. I would need light. I would need a mirror. God has given it to those who are burdened over their sin, those who seek the Savior, those that cry for mercy, their eyes are open, the light has shone into their soul. And the mirror is the Word of God, which reveals to us the marks of the lambs and sheep of this fold. All who fear God, both small and great, the footsteps of this flock. This flock, the shepherd leads and makes them to lie down in green pastures and leads them by the still waters. Those that are born again seek the green pastures. They cannot feed on the husks that swine feed. They need, as newborn babes, the sincere milk of the Word. They pray for the Lord to lead them, feed them, and nourish them, and make them lie down, to give a spirit of humility at the feet of Jesus Christ, for all pride to be removed, to be as a little child, to sit at his feet, to hear his word. And at times this expression, he maketh me to lie down. You're restless, you're tempted, you're burdened, you're fretful. Perhaps we're not of a right spirit, but he makes us. He breaks down that pride. He humbles this self of ours and makes us to lie down, waiting, dependent on him, and then as fed and blessed and find a little rest, a little place of refreshing and stillness. Sheep will never lie down if there is anything to frighten them. Or, again, I would take it if they were hungry, well-fed, and quietness leads to rest. Oh, when the Lord has blessed us and fed us from his word, when Satan has been silenced, our fears have been removed, there's been such a greenness in the pasture and a stillness in our soul. Oh, how precious this blessing is. But there's so much that distresses and disturbs the sheep. I've been told that in some flocks there's some sheep that manifest quite a well, they just won't let any of the other sheep rest. They'll go about and disturb one and disturb another. May we ever be preserved from being a disturber in the flock. Oh, friend, and then again, the sheep might be alarmed at the sound of a wolf or in eastern lands of a lion. But the shepherd watches over them, but aren't we afraid sometimes? Don't we need the Lord to come and say, fear not? And then again, do you find sometimes that, yes, you've been helped under that heavy trial, in that time of difficulty, and you were able to rest in the Lord and to be still, but something small has come into your life and, oh, it's so irritating. It really rankles, it really upsets you. And yet when you start to try and think about it, you think, well, why should this little thing worry me so and disturb me far more than perhaps the bigger trials through which I've been brought through? Well, you know, the poor sheep sometimes are worried by insects, aren't they? Plagued with them. These flies. So, friend, how we need the Lord to come. And as I believe in certain cases of caring for the sheep, that a special provision is made of oil or something to preserve the sheep from getting distressed and worried with these small flies that so disturb them and distress them. That leads us to this, the footsteps of the flock, in this, that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That still the shepherd see. It's not a banqueting house that we're talking about there. It's the shepherd's duty to provide pasturage for the sheep, to find out that which is suitable for the sheep. You see, there's danger. The sheep may say, "Ah, that looks nice for me," but it could be poisonous, could be harmful. So the shepherd finds out the pasturage and leads the sheep thereto. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. One of the great enemies of our soul is the devil, and he'll tempt you. The fiery darts of the wicked. And have you sometimes been so troubled, so tried, so tempted, as you come to God's house and you felt that you were out of the secret entirely, there was no hope for your soul, and the Lord has prepared the table, led his servant to speak a word that has caused the devil to flee, your soul to be fed, your heart to be encouraged? I remember prior to the call to the ministry, and then as a deacon of the course, and I have to name that, not by any way of attention to myself or boasting of myself, but you'll understand why I mentioned that I was a deacon. My pastor had died, and one Lord's Day morning I felt a real spirit of prayer for a blessing for my soul. Another reviving, another token for good. As we have in the psalm here, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Draw me, tell me, Lord, that's what I want. And this came sweetly into my soul. Show me some token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I'm born again and that my treasure is above. And then came the devil. I cannot and I will not describe what I passed through, lest I should even bring into your mind what I passed through from the attack of the enemy. It was in this way. You should never be a deacon, if that's all you can say, and much more. My friend, I was knocked down, bruised. I went to God's house. The dear minister was preaching, and I don't know today what his text was. But do you know, in the middle of that sermon, he paused and he said that he spoke of a deacon that would die. And it was a Sunday. And the people in the chapel said, "We would love you to choose a hymn that is now sweet to your soul, that we may sing in the sanctuary today." He said, "Yes." And he said, "The hymn is this. Show me a token, Lord, for God, a token of thy special love." And the dear minister went on to say how that deacon, soon, a day or two later, passing away, passed away in full assurance of faith. They're wonderful seasons. It's just as though you were the only sheep of that flock, and the Lord should take such care, hear your poor prayer, silence the devil, come to you and comfort you, the footsteps of the flock. "Thou anointest my head with oil." That was what I was coming to. Here are the sheep plagued with these insects. Can't rest. Here is this one that is bruised. Have you got a bruise? But there again the same thought comes. Nothing but what Jesus gives and speaks can be a comfort to your soul and heal that wound and that bruise. Perhaps you come to the point at times you can't go on any longer.
like the sheep coming in at the end of the day, is exhausted. But there's the good shepherd. He holds the anointing oil in the horn in his hand. That would be of no avail to the bruised sheep, the sheep that is plagued with insects, the sheep that is weary just to see the oil. It'd be a comfort to see it. The sheep would have some hope of it, that there is oil, but the vital thing is for the application of it, isn't it? Oh, pray for that. Pray for application. Pray for that word to be so blessed to your soul, and that word to come just where you are, that it will bring comfort in your sorrow and strengthen you in your weakness and revive you and refresh you. We know something of it. We know what it has been to be brought to nothing, to be brought to the end of everything. One night some years ago when my children were young, it was Sunday night, and I was driving to Tamworth Road, and I thought I'd come to the end. What was I going to say? How was I going to preach? And my girls were singing a hymn. Very rare in the car that they did it, but they did that night. It was the Lord's appointment, and I suddenly heard this. Jesus Christ, your Father's Son, bid you undismayed go on. Friend, that was a message from heaven for my soul. It was power. It was application. Oh, pray for this. Pray much for it. The footsteps of the flock. But who are we following? In eastern lands, as you well know, the sheep follow the shepherd. And it is said that if you should see the sheep walking in a straight line, more or less a straight line, you could be assured that there's a shepherd in front of them. You see sheep in the field alone without a shepherd, and they'll be scattered. They'll just wander to and fro in the field. But if you see sheep walking in a straight line, you'll see them, that they're following the shepherd. And my friend, I like this expression, the footsteps. Someone's gone before. It's our Jesus. It's this good shepherd. He knows all the paths. He knows all the way. Not only does he know it, not only has he walked it out, but in unerring wisdom and love, this is the right path for you and for me. Not the path that we choose, not the way that we love, but it's the right way. And in our right mind, this is the path we seek for. In thy presence I am happy, in thy presence I'm secure, in thy presence all affliction I can easily endure. The footsteps of the flock is to follow in his steps. It is to be obedient to his voice. It is to walk by faith. It is to walk in the fear of the Lord. It is to walk and owning no other but Jesus Christ. Oh, how we come into such trouble when we think that we know a better way. When we think that the grass is greener if we should turn aside there. Oh, beloved friend, what danger there is. And remember, backsliding isn't just and only confined to turning the back on the sanctuary and going right into the world. We can still be in God's house and slowly come into a backsliding state by seeking to go our path, seeking to walk in our way. And I believe this, we must watch it ever so carefully. I feel I need it myself increasingly to watch against my spirit. A wrong spirit does us great harm. Rebellion before God, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. The wandering will come into a place of barrenness. The grass may appear green and everything may appear favorable, but my friend, it will not prosper. An unforgiving spirit, an unkind thought, unjust judgment, a failure to confess our own fault, any deviation from the footsteps of the flock, we shall suffer. The mercy is this, that the Lord will not leave us to perish. Perverse and foolish, oft I strayed, and yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulder gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. If the eastern shepherd observes one of his sheep wandering far from the fold, he'll take his sling and cause a stone to fall just in front of that sheep. Not to hit the sheep, not to harm the sheep, but to startle it. It's a great mercy. The Lord doesn't leave us to perish. We are kept by the power of God. And my friend, when the Lord sends a word sometimes to show us our folly, where we're wrong, and to bring us back. And isn't it wonderful that he still receives us, that he doesn't leave us to perish in our sin, still has us, still we are his? The footsteps of the flock. Sometimes it's the valley experience. The valley is the deep place, the lonely path sometimes. And yet, some of the sweetest pasture, the greenest grass, the most precious fruits in the valley, aren't they? Have you proved it sometimes? A valley, a place of darkness, a low place, a lonely place, and yet a place of blessing to your soul. Yea, though I walk through, don't lose sight of that, friend. Through. It's through much tribulation, but it's through it. Let us go unto the other side, said Jesus Christ. But you see, there was the storm. And there was that time ready to perish. And the disciples had forgotten surely what Jesus said. The other side, it looked as though they were going to sink. But Jesus had said the other side. And so, as we have quoted, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The footsteps of the flock, when everything seems so dark. When it is dark, you cannot see. If I can use the illustrations, very simple. I stood in this pulpit at midnight tonight and there was no light whatsoever. This Bible open, I would not be able to see the text that is written in this Bible. But no one would be such a fool to say that the text, because it's dark, is being removed from this Bible. But you see, we're so poor and so troubled and so tried at times that when we're in the dark, we fear that it's all gone. And the devil roars and tells us, where's your religion? Where's your God now? What about the promise now? Where are you now? And oh, friend, to trust him in the dark. To say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, no evil one, for thou. That's the secret. Thou, my shepherd that loves me, my shepherd that died for me, thou art with me. I have spoken in this rambling discourse this morning of the 23rd Psalm of green pastures. Well, I do not know how many times I've read it in my life, but it was only last year I saw something I'd never seen before. Green pastures is always fresh, friend. I observe there's only two words in that psalm in italics. That means that our godly interpreters, and quite rightly, insert the word to give a clear English translation and understanding of the word. But the first word in italics is the word is. The Lord is my shepherd. So really, if we took it literally, is the Lord my shepherd. And in the simple meditation that softened my heart, it came so sweetly in this way, the Lord my shepherd. Then, oh, how close he is. Every moment, never failing, ever with me. The Lord my shepherd. Like that word, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. That little word art is in italics. Thou, mine. Nothing to separate us from his love. Think of it. Your life hidden with a Christ in God. Then the other. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That little word art. Thou with me. Friend. Oh, I would speak with care. What more can he say? Than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. His closeness itself. He's ever with his children. He'll never fail them, never forsake them. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. You have doubtless read of the godly man that had that dream, and he saw his life as footprints in the sand, and two sets of footprints, but as he looked closely, he saw at times there was just one set of footprints. And as he considered it, he observed that that one set of footprints was when he was in the deepest trouble, when he was in the dark. And he couldn't understand, Lord, didst thou leave me then? No, my child, I carried thee. He does, doesn't he? As we read in Isaiah about carrying the lambs in his bosom. And that sheep that he finds, he lays it upon his shoulders. The government of the world is on his shoulder, but the sheep found is on his shoulders. And that's a place of strength, friend. And in his bosom, that's a place of his love. Oh, they shall never perish. Oh, they are his. The footsteps of the flock. To walk by faith, to walk in trust, to walk leaning on our beloved, walk looking unto Jesus. And look, just this thought. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And Jesus has set an example. He was baptized. The footsteps of the flock. The Lord lead you forth, any that are burdened and exercised in the ordinance of his heaven, to follow in these footsteps. It is in love. It is by faith. And as you sung in your opening hymn, but by faith and not by sight, Christians yield obedience. The footsteps of a flock. And it's right to heaven at last. Because the good shepherd is there. And he'll bring his children there. And he says, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen.